You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is back with me next week. Coming up later, we'll look at what the Green Bay area is doing to try to stem manure pollution and its impact on water in the region. First, the fast food giant McDonald's announced yesterday they're raising wages for nearly 90,000 of the company's employees. That means at corporate-owned stores, they'll set their minimum at a dollar above the local minimum wage. That doesn't include owners of franchise McDonald's who will still set their own wages. Now, McDonald's is not alone. In the last few months, we've heard from a handful of major retailers, at Walmart, Target, TJ Maxx, announcing raises for some of their lowest-paid workers. So what's behind this trend? Is it a trend? What sort of economic impact could this have? Joining us now to discuss these questions is Wally Hopp. He's Senior Associate Dean for Faculty and Research at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Wally, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
So a big announcement for McDonald's, though. Critics point out that this doesn't affect franchise employees. But let's start with your reaction to this announcement yesterday afternoon.
Well, I think it's a terrific announcement. I see it as part of a larger trend. As you say, it's relatively few stores inside of McDonald's, but symbolically, I think it's significant. In particular, coming on the heels of the Walmart announcement, because that one is particularly significant since Walmart's the largest private employer in the U.S.
Now, there have been protests targeting, in particular, McDonald's and Walmart, saying, hey, raise your wages for low-end employees, and also saying states, hey, raise your minimum wages. Is this an issue where Walmart's and McDonald's are responding to bad publicity, or is this economic factors that have nothing to do at all with the protests?
I'd say it's both of those things and maybe a third thing that you didn't mention. So first of all, you know, the basic economic reason is that the economic recovery has been taking hold for some years. It's been slow, but the improving employment numbers have been putting, finally, upward pressure on wages. So that's certainly there. The second one that you said is that there's been an increasing amount of public outcry against rising income inequality. And so, you know, the sense that for the past few decades that the gains of the economy have been disproportionately going to the higher end of the income spectrum and leaving the lower end of the spectrum behind. And so, you know, firms are getting negative publicity, you know, from the Occupy movement to the, you know, protests for, you know, higher minimum wages. So that's certainly there. And you know, firms have to worry about their image and their brand. And so I think that these increases are that as well. But the third one that I think is significant here is that there's an increasing amount of research and industry experience that provides evidence that paying high wages can actually save money. And the reason for that is it's an old story. You know, Henry Ford described high wages as the smartest cost-cutting move he ever made. And the reason for that is that, you know, if you pay more to get more. If you pay higher wages, your employees stay longer. They, you know, learn their jobs better, and so they're more productive. You save the cost of having to recruit people to pay them. And if you pay better wages, you get, you know, better people applying for your jobs. And so the you know, sum of all those factors is that you wind up with more productive workers, and the productivity increase can often offset the you know, the cost of the higher wages.
Now, when I think of McDonald's in particular, it seems like that's a company that's been more about the process than the people, that they've got this smooth, efficient machine that, you know, the worker, after a quick bit of training, is more or less interchangeable. Does the quality of a worker, does the training of a worker and experience of a worker at McDonald's really make that much difference to their bottom line?
Well, you know, the as you say, the process is highly mechanized, right? So the idea is just to kind of, you know, make it as simple as possible so people learn it quickly and, you know, anybody can do the job. But that doesn't mean anybody does the job well. I mean, if you go into McDonald's, and, you know, take a look at how clean they are, or, you know, how friendly they are, or how responsive they are, right? There's a motivational impact that goes into this as well. And so that's an important piece of this productivity, you know, dimension. And it means that there's more to it than money. Here at the Ross School, we have a Center for Positive Organizations that studies the impact of the quality of the culture of an organization on the performance of the workforce. And what they find is that, you know, yeah, sure, higher pay helps, but so do better working conditions, and so does, you know, a sense of purpose in one's work. And all of those things kind of combine to, you know, elevate the level of motivation of the workforce, and, you know, leads to higher customer service and, you know, quality of the products the company produces.
We're talking to Wally Hopp from the University of Michigan Ross School of Business about the news yesterday that McDonald's, for their direct corporate employees anyway, bumping up their wages for minimum wage workers, low-end workers, following on others, Target, TJ Maxx, and more. Mm-hmm. So, Wally, these wages, these wage increases, you're saying the benefits they could provide in terms of maybe morale for workers, the job performance they do, are enough to balance, maybe even exceed the cost?
Mm-hmm. I am saying that. That doesn't come automatically, right? You still have to execute. But one of the cases that business people like to look at is comparing Walmart, you know, say over the past 20 years with Costco. And average wages, you know, for the, you know, hourly employees at Walmart were, say, call it $12 an hour. At Costco, it's around $22 an hour. Now, that's not a tiny gap. That's a gigantic gap. And these are both discount retailers playing, you know, very much in the same space. I mean, Sam's Club and Costco are going head-to-head with one another. But if you look at it, what Walmart's doing is they're hiring many employees who are relatively low productivity, whereas Costco is hiring fewer employees at much higher wages who are higher productivity. And they pay them better, not just better pay, but better benefits. You know, a much higher fraction of the Costco workforce has health benefits and retirement benefits. But if you look at it, you know, the turnover rate, you know, historically was maybe 44% per year at Walmart, maybe 17% at Costco. That's a big deal. You know, here now, the jobs are complex enough that, you know, learning does matter. If you have 44% of your people quitting every year, it's, you know, you got a lot of training going on and a lot of people who don't know their jobs. But Costco actually, you know, supplements their workers with very high efficiency operation systems. They deliver, you know, their products directly to the factory floor or to the retail floor. You know, they have a very efficient scheduling system. They keep the number of stock keeping units very low, and they set it up so that, you know, the fewer employees can be very, very efficient and then focus on, you know, customer service. And if you go there, you know, historically you'd see that the you know, Costco employees have more smiles on their faces than the Walmart employees do. But more importantly than all that is that if you look at the stock market performance and the profitability, Walmart's been the clear loser over the last couple decades. Costco has outperformed them in the market by a mile. And so, you know, I look at this a little bit as, you know, Walmart's been looking at Costco and, you know, saying, well, gee whiz, those guys pay a lot more money than we do, and they're doing really well. You know, we can probably afford to pay our workers, you know, better here and, you know, achieve some of the same kinds of benefits that Costco's been able to achieve.
Are we starting to see a chain reaction going here where a huge employer like Walmart does this and then McDonald's thinks, well, that's partly our labor pool, and Target thinks the same thing, and so other people have to keep up with the Walmarts, the Waltons, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's that direct competition, you know, because, you know, you're looking at entry-level jobs here. So people are movable, right? They can swap around, and so there is some competition. But there's also a little bit of shaming going on, right? You don't want to be, you know, the Scrooge in the group, right? Is if everybody else is hiking up wages and you're left behind at the bottom, you're going to get that, you know, bad public image, as well as all the negative impacts of, you know, demotivated employees and so forth.
Why now, though? I mean, are suddenly companies waking up to what you're talking about positive business at the same time and deciding to pay more? Or is it because they can pay more and need to pay more to maybe attract people because the economy is improving?
I think the latter is probably the catalyst for this, you know, that the economy is improving, so it's the time to do it. But there's more to it. I mean, I just, you know, we just had a vice president from Walmart here speaking at the University of Michigan. And, you know, she talked about a significant culture change going on inside of Walmart. So it's not just higher wages that they were celebrating. It's also, you know, a significant investment in sustainability, you know, in terms of the suppliers that they buy from. And, you know, part of that's all kind of a piece, I think, you know, that they're trying to create a culture in which the employees are proud and satisfied to work at Walmart to a much greater extent than they have been before.
Yeah, how do they do that?
How do they cultivate that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're at a company that's basically saying, I mean, did you see the announcement this morning that the, you know, CEO of Walmart had protested anti-gay legislation in Arkansas? Now, that's a pretty revolutionary thing for a, you know, pretty conservative retailer like Walmart to do. But they're basically, you know, now starting to flex their muscle a little bit because they are, you know, so big, and you know, do some things that you know not only will attract employees but will attract you know, customers. And so the environment in which you work is particularly important now. Another factor besides just the rising economy is the entry of millennials into the workforce. What we're seeing here in the business school is a lot of research suggesting that millennials are particularly purpose-driven in their choice of employment. So when they're looking around, you know, amongst their various options, even a little bit of a change of this company's more socially responsible, this company's more sustainable, does influence their choices of places to work. So even employees that, you know, are at this level of, you know, sort of entry-level jobs in the retail industry are still influenced by, you know, the character, the environment, the values of the place that they work.
We're talking with business professor Wally Hopp about the handful of companies, including now McDonald's, that are opting to raise wages for some of their lowest paid employees. McDonald's just announced they'll set their starting wage at $1 above minimum wage at their corporate, their directly owned stores. What do you think? Do you see this as a step in the right direction, or do you think it'll ultimately cost you more as a consumer? And think back on your work career, whether we're talking about today or years ago. If you're a low paid employee, does it make a difference, your working conditions, if you think you're being treated with dignity, if there's a purpose to the job you're doing? Does that make a low wage more acceptable? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up a conversation in a moment after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with University of Michigan business professor Wally Hopp about the handful of big name companies, including McDonald's, that are opting to raise wages for some of their lowest paid employees. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts. Do you think this is a step in the right direction? Good for the economy? Something that could raise prices for you as a consumer, as a worker, or maybe as an employer? Do you think better paid employees do a better job? Do you think it helps keep them on the job longer so you don't have to keep training new people all the time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Before we get to the calls, Wally, is public image more important now for companies than ever to where they're worried about what the public thinks about what they pay their employees?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, this is something that the marketing research field has been looking at, and it's a pretty dramatic change. Just in the past couple of years, what they do is they measure the value of brands, and brands that are associated with sustainability and social responsibility are numerically more valuable than ones that aren't. And so these are hardcore marketing people on Madison Avenue and so forth that are urging companies to work on their reputation in these areas. So the kinds of steps that Walmart has taken in the sustainability space, many of them are cost-saving things, right? If they use nitrogen-filled tires or auxiliary power units on their trucks and save energy, it's good for the planet, but it's also good for their bottom line. But it's also now good for their brand image. And that a decade ago, that really wasn't true. That, you know, being associated with, you know, sustainability or social responsibility was, appealing to a very small segment of the population. But, you know, I think, again, as the millennials are, you know, becoming a bigger and bigger part of the, consumer public, it's becoming more important as an element in a corporate brand.
Go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Kevin with us in Kewaskum. Kevin, hi.
Hi there. I guess I got, I think it's great, and I think it's great for these companies' images. And I guess I want to pose a question, and maybe this is going out on a limb, but is this maybe an example why we don't need to have a minimum wage, that it'll take care of itself? And I can take my answer off the air.
Kevin, interesting question. Wally, what do you think?
Kevin, I think that's a great question. You know, maybe it is that social pressure can take, the place of a mandatory minimum wage. The concern I have, though, is that, it may not go far enough. The companies that are particularly concerned about their brand, like a Walmart, a McDonald's, because they are in the public eye, are going to be pressured by, social protest. But the smaller, companies that are out of the public eye aren't going to feel that. And there are lots and lots of those. So I think that there still is a role for a minimum wage. And if you look at it, the minimum wage in real buying power has gone down and down and down, right? It would be significantly higher than the $10 or, whatever that people are talking about increasing it if it had just kept up with inflation. So the kinds of changes that have been argued for in the minimum wage are ones that I think are pretty modest and wouldn't have much of a negative impact on the economy and might have a pretty positive impact on a pretty significant slice of the workforce.
Kevin, thanks for that call. We'll go now to Catherine in Racine. Catherine, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
What did you want to bring up, Catherine?
I wanted to make a comment that if you are satisfied in your job, if you are valued as an employee, a low wage can be justifiable. I used to work at a bus driver for a daycare center that was employed by S.C. Johnson, the Johnsons who produced Windex, Blade, Sterling Bubbles, so on and so forth. This is an international company, and even though I was only bringing home 800 net, I loved my job. I would, if I could, I would go back in a heartbeat, even though the wage can't support myself and my son, because I was treated so well and I was so valued as an employee.
Catherine, can I ask a personal question? How old are you?
I am 25. I'm a millennial.
Okay. Well, I was wondering about that, Catherine. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. So is this, Wally, a story we're hearing from millennials? We can maybe get by without tons of money as long as we are into what we're doing?
Yeah. Survey after survey shows exactly what Catherine just said. That dignity in and purpose in work matters to them, and they, the millennials, to a greater extent than older people like me, are willing to sacrifice some wages in order to get that. So it's a values shift on the part of that generation, and I think an admirable one, but it's one that corporations are standing up and taking notice of.
Catherine, thanks for that call. We're talking to Wally Hopp from the University of Michigan about wage increases at Walmart, McDonald's, Target, elsewhere. Wally, is this making a virtue out of necessity, though? Is it that the high-paying jobs maybe aren't out there? They're not as available for millennials, so they're making the best with what they've got.
Well, that may be the case, right? And so maybe it is that we're entering an era of lower economic growth. And maybe economic growth isn't necessarily the best measure of success of an economy. There are some European countries that may measure gross net happiness instead of gross net product, gross national product. What they do is they try to measure other factors that influence the quality of life. Dignity on the job and a sense of self-worth and satisfaction contribute to that. That seems like a pretty reasonable thing to me, whether it's, forced out of necessity or whether it's, a real, value choice. It seems like not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, if I'm a stockholder, though, at a big company, when I look at the year-end statement, I'm not looking for dignity and happiness. I'm looking for the bottom line. Are people like that, are stockholders, are business owners seeing the dignity you're talking about, the workplace quality of life, translating? Are they getting the message you're trying to send, that these things pay off for them in the long run?
Well, they are. You know, in some sense, if you look at it, that some of these things, you know, paying low wages, getting bad, publicity, being an irresponsible citizen in society and so forth, confers risk on the companies, right? You get boycotts, you get, lawsuits, et cetera. So there are lots of things that having a positive business strategy, serves as a risk mitigation measure. And what we've been studying here at the Ross School is lots and lots of cases. If you go to our Center for Positive Organizations site, you'll see case studies and research papers and surveys and so forth that show that there are many businesses out there that are producing a better bottom line, better returns to their shareholders by means of investing in their workforce and investing in socially responsible business practices. So it's not, even if the shareholders don't care a whit about the planet or the employees, these are good business practices if you want to make money sustainably over the long term.
So we've seen, as we mentioned, the headlines about Walmart's, McDonald's, and others. Are there a lot of other shoes waiting to drop? Do you think we're going to be seeing more big companies raise their wages at some level for their lowest wage employees?
Yeah, I would expect so. I mean, Walmart's the largest retailer. They've gone there. So I think that the rest of the retail industry is under more pressure, than they were just a short time ago. McDonald's, even though, the franchisees aren't bound by this decision, is a big and highly visible player in the fast food industry. So again, there's a measure of pressure on that industry. Hotel and service industries are sort of another frontier where I'm sort of watching to see if a big player will make a move.
We'll watch along with you and maybe talk to you about this again. Wally, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Wally Hopp. He's Senior Associate Dean for Faculty and Research at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Joined us to talk about the new raises for many McDonald's employees, following on similar raises at Walmart's and other big employers around the country.